Okay, we're holding on Pesachim Daf Pei Bet. We're at the very bottom of Pei Aleph and Bet. Had the Mishnah Nitma Shalim or Ruba. So or Rubo. So if the Korban Pesach became Tame, either in its entirety or its majority, Sorfin Oto Lifnei Habira Matze Maracha. Right. So you burn it before the Bira, which is in front of the Beit Hamikdash, basically, with the wood that's used for the Maracha. Nitma miuto. If only a small part of it became tamei, if it had notar, alternatively, leftover meat for the Korban Pesach, right, so they would have to burn that in their own homes, their own courtyards, with their own wood. Tzaikanin sorfin oto lifnei habira. Now, those who were miserly and didn't want to use their own money, so they would burn. They would burn even the parts that they could have burned in their own homes, their own wood. They would burn in front of the bira, b'shvil le'anot matzei ha'maracha. That way, they could use the atzei ha'maracha, the wood that belonged to the Beit Hamikdash, to burn the rest of their korban. My tama, Amar Yosi Bar Chanina Kidei Levayshin. Why would they have to burn it dafka in front of the bira in order to embarrass them? Meaning, in order to make them feel ashamed that they are bringing the that they let their korban become tame, right? Which is they really should have been more careful. So this is kind of like a preventative. Is that really you got to take you got to be cautious with your korban. Not to let it become tame. Nitma miuto. If only a small part of it became tame, we said that it's burnt by your own wood. Urminhu, but seemingly we have a contradictory source. V'chein mishi yatzem Yerushalayim v'nizkar shesh b'yado basar kodesh. If someone who left Yerushalayim and remembered that they had kodesh meat with them, imav hartzofim. So from Komo. So if you already passed hartzofim, so then you burn it where you are. V'im lav. But if you didn't pass hartzofim, chazav esarofos ne'abira. Me'atzei ha'aracha. Then you're supposed to apparently go back and burn it with the atzei ha'aracha. Right, but what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to go back and burn it with atzei ha'aracha? Or do you burn the leftover? Do you burn the notar with your own wood? Amar Rav Chama bar Ukva lo kasha kan b'achsanai kan b'valabai. There are different cases here. One, where you go back to Yerushalayim is when you're a visitor. You don't have your own courtyard with your own wood. However, if you dwell, if you live in Yerushalayim, that's when you burn it in your own courtyard with your own wood. Rav Papa Amar Hava HaBachsanai. Rav Papa says, no, both cases are talking about a visitor. Kan Sheichzik B'derech, Kan Sheichzik B'derech. Right? And one is talking about where you already set off to leave, then you burn it in your home. One is talking about when you didn't really set off to leave just yet, so then you can go back to the bira and burn it. Rav Zavid Amar Le'olam Katzamar Mikara. Really, like we said originally, Kan Bachsanai Kan Balabait, where we should make that chiluk between a visitor and someone who lives in Yerushalayim, v'afal gav d'lo yichz b'derek, and even if you hadn't set to go home just yet, achsanai kevan d'leidlei asa'ua ketzai kanin, but since the achsanai does not have wood to use, they treated him like they would treat the misers, where they could use the atzei ma'arach on burn in front of the beer. At the time, we learned in the Mishnah, Tzaikanin sorfin adolif ne'abir, but shulei anot ma'atzei ma'arach, right? As we learned by the tzaikanin, right, that they are, that even if they live there, they can still burn the korban, the leftover korban, in front of the bira. Tan Rabbanan, we taught a brayta. Ba'u lesorfo bechatutein matzei amaracha ein shomin lehen lifnei abira matzei atzman ein shomin lehen. If you wanted to burn in your courtyard with Beit Hamikdash's wood, courtyard of the Beit Hamikdash with your own wood, we don't let you do that. Bishlama matzei amarach bechatutein ein shomin lehem dilma paisha minayhu. Right. So okay, I understand why you're not allowed to burn the korban in your courtyard with the Beit HaMikdash's wood, because maybe some, even though you're allowed to use the Beit HaMikdash's wood for that purpose, maybe you're going to have some left over that you might use for other reasons. That's why we don't let you do it. Va'atu behuli detekala. Right, so you're going to come and use the korban Pesach for the wrong reason. You're going to come, use this wood for the wrong reason. But why can't you use your own wood in front of the Beit HaMikdash? Right? What problem are we concerned for there? Rav Yosef Amar, we don't want to embarrass people who don't have their own wood, so we just say everyone uses the same wood, which is very interesting, right? Because at the beginning of the daf, we had our Mishnah seems to teach you daf could do this following it, so people will feel ashamed and they'll be more careful. And here we're saying that we adopt an additional gzeira, that way no one feels embarrassed, right? So embarrassment is obviously a very strong thing, and you know, we we kind of orchestrate our dinim to avoid people's embarrassment at all costs, but there are also other values aside from not being embarrassed. And when you have such a high value and embarrassment serves as a preventative, it's just interesting where we see using embarrassment as like a preventative from doing worse things and how they're protecting, let's say, higher values. However, when it's not come to protect a higher value, then we do everything we can not to let people be embarrassed. It's just interesting kind of the use of the embarrassment in both contexts there. Rava Amar Bnei Achashav, right? And Rava has an additional concern or an alternative concern. Not that we don't want to embarrass the people by who don't have their own wood. Rather, we want to avoid all suspicion, right? Because if you bring the if you bring your wood to the Beit HaMikdash to burn the to burn your korban and you have leftover, then you're going to want to bring it home. Right? Because that's your wood, so you're going to bring it back home. But then people are going to see that you're bringing wood home for the Beit HaMikdash, and they're going to assume that you're bringing home the wrong wood. You're going to bring home the Beit HaMikdash's wood, right? And we want to avoid that that suspicion. My Benaihu, what's the nafkamina between whether you hold that it's mipnei, not to embarrass people don't have, or mipnei achashad? Yikim Benaihu de aiti kani ve chariyuta, right? So there's a difference as to whether if you bring palm branches, the lochazi la maracha, because palm branches are not used in the maracha, so no one's going to assume that you're bringing those home from the Beit HaMikdash. Tanan hata, and we learned in the Mishnah somewhere else. Rosh ha-ma'amad hayam ma'amid et atmein al shar mizrach. So the head of the ma'amad would tell the tamei kohanim to stand guard by the east entrance of the Beit HaMikdash. My time, why would they send him there? Amar Rav Yosef Kedei Levaisha, who says because they're the Tamei Kohanim, everyone, they're going to be standing there, and they're going to be ashamed that they're standing out there instead of doing the Avod in the Beit HaMikdash, but they really should have been more careful and not become Tamei. Rav Amar Pnei Chashad. Then Rava says, no, we need them to stand out there. That way, if they just don't show up to the Beit HaMikdash, people might assume, oh, look at them, they're like ditching their vote in the Beit HaMikdash for their own, because, you know, their work, they have other, you know, business endeavors. They're prioritizing, you know, their pursuits over the avoda in the Beit HaMikdash. So we stand them out there. Everyone realizes, no, we're not. It's not that we're ditching the avoda. We can't do the avoda right now. My Benaihu, Ika Benaihu, Mifanke, Inami, Dekagadil, Shishura. Right? The difference is, for people who are who don't work for a living, no one's going to have that suspicion of them if they don't actually work for a living. Alternatively, people who braid rope for a living, they make so little, no one's going to assume that they're leaving their avoda behind in order to braid rope. Pesach shiatza o shenitma. Hakorban Pesach that was taken outside of Yerushalayim or became tameh. Yisaref miyad, needs to be burnt. V'nitmu habalim o shemetu. However, if the baal of the korban became tameh or they died, then you have to do what's called teubar tzurato. The appearance of the korban has to be changed. Visaref b'shishasar, and then it should be burnt on the 16th of the month. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, afzei saref miyad levisha ein lo ochlim. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch says, no, even that needs to be burned immediately because there's no one to eat it. Right. So what is this concept of teubar tzurato? Basically, if there's an intrinsic problem with the korban, we say that the korban is null and void, can be burnt up immediately. We don't even treat it like kadosh anymore. However, if it's not an intrinsic problem with the korban, it's an extrinsic problem with the korban. Right. What that means is the korban itself is intact. There's just a side problem, like the person can't eat it. Well, then we don't want to burn it right away because it's kodshim. Right. It's still very, very holy thing. That's why we wait for ibur tzurata. We wait for this to be some sort of problem with the korban itself, like it becomes disfigured in a way. And then once you have the problem with the korban itself, because the korban became disfigured, that is when we allow you to burn it, right? But if there's no intrinsic problem with the korban, right, rather there's a situational problem, you can't eat it, we don't want you to burn the kodshim that seems to be in a perfect state. So we wait for the animal to get warped a little bit, and then we go ahead and burn it. Bishlama tame k'diva basar sheyiga b'chol tame lo yachel be'esh yisarev. I understand that if the korban itself became tameh, then you can burn it immediately because the pasuk explicitly says that the something that becomes tameh needs to be burnt immediately. But how do you know that that korban that was brought out of Yerushalayim is considered an intrinsic problem, the korban that warrants it being burnt up immediately? Dichtiv hen lo huva et dama el kodesh pnima. Well, it's written that the blood was not brought before the Kodesh, before within the inside of the Kodesh. Right, Amar lo Moshe Aaron, and Moshe said to Aaron, "Madu lo haltem in the chatat." And he asked, "Well, you know, why not? Why didn't you eat the korban chatat? Shema nichnas dama lefnei v'lefnim. Right? Is it because the blood entered the innermost part of the Beit Hamikdash, and that's why it was rendered null and void, and you couldn't then eat it?" Amar lo la. So Aaron responded, "No, there's no such problem existed." Amar lo. Or maybe then it went beyond where it was allowed to be brought. He says, no, it was actually always in the Beit HaMikdash, or always in the Chatzar, the whole time, the Mishkan. Amar lo, I b'kodesh haita, v'hein lo huva et dama el kodesh pnima, madu alo chata madata. So says Moshe, okay, well, if it wasn't brought outside of where it was supposed to be brought, and if it wasn't brought inside of where it was supposed to be brought, why didn't you eat the korban chatan? Right, which would imply that if the blood was brought too close, meaning into the Kodesh Kodashim, or outside the area that it was allowed to be eaten, that would constitute a psul, and it would be subject to burning. Bishlama nitma gather chona kachim kalim koshkem kachim kachim. Okay, well, still I could say the following. I understand how you know that the tumah needs to be burnt because the Torah taught you the burning of tamei meat by kochim kalim, right, by lower level kochim. So then I make a kavachomer by kochim kochim. It's something that is a higher level of kedusha. All the more so, it needs to be burnt. Ela yotze. However, something that was brought outside of the boundary and therefore was rendered invalid, I only know that to be the case by kodesh kodeshim, right? By very, very high level kodesh sacrifices. Kodeshim kalim v'nalim, but how do I know that the same is applicable to kodeshim kalim? Lower level kedusha sacrifices, how do I know that those should be burnt also? But two, furthermore, hadatanya lan dama, we taught in a braita that if the blood was left overnight, nishpach dama, or if the blood spilled on the ground or wasn't thrown properly, yata dama chutz leklayim, or alternatively, if it was brought outside of the designated area, dekayim lam nisreifa minon, right? That you have to burn it. Now, where do you learn, where did we know that din from? We taught that in Brayta, but where do we know these things from? Nafkalam mid Rabbi Shimon, right? So we darshan now from Rabbi Shimon Shita. We learned it from Rabbi Shimon Shita. Netanya, we learned it right to Rabbi Shimon Omer, but Kodesh by Es Tisareh, right? The Kodesh should be burnt in the fire. Limeid alachata, which teaches you on the Korban Chata that it needs to be burnt. Shesrefata be Kodesh, that it needs to be burnt in the Beit Hamikdash. Ainly ela zobilvad. Now I only know that this Korban Chatat is supposed to be burnt. Shar psule koche kochim. However, regarding all other types of koche kochim, where do I know that they also need to be burned? But imura kochim kalim. And furthermore, the parts of the Korban that are burnt up in the kochim kalim, where do I know that that also would need to be burnt in the Beit HaMikdash? Minayin. Had I know, tamid lomar v'chol b'kodesh b'yisaref. Right? From that riboy of the word kol, I know that all things need to be burnt up in the Kodesh. Eshchan Chodshe Kodshim, Kodshim Kalim Inal. Okay, I now know by all Kodshim Kodshim. However, by Kodshim Kalim, how do I know that those also get burnt up? Ela Kol Psulo B'Kodesh B'Sreifa, Loshna Kodshim Kalim, Loshna Kodshe Kodshim, Gemara Gemiri La V'Chatat Da'aron Mishum Masi Shaya Kachaya. So we can see that I really don't have a good pasuk to teach me that all Kodshim Kodshim and all Kodshim Kalim should be burnt up immediately if the blood is brought outside the area that it needs to be. Rather, I know that it's actually Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai that this is the case, that you need to burn the Kodesh Kochim and the Kochim Kalim if the blood is brought out of where it's supposed to be. And this story by Aaron doesn't explicitly teach me this law, because it's not the source for the law. Right? The source for the law is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. This story by Aaron was just actually a story that happened, and the Torah was relating a story that actually happened to Aaron and to Moshe. Urtana Debe Rabba Baravuha Da'amara Filu Pigul Ta'un Ibur Tura. And according to the Tana of Rav Baravua, right, who says that even a pigul needs ibur tzura. What would that mean? That a pigul is not considered an intrinsic problem enough to be burnt up right away. Rather, you need the form of the animal to be changed, minalan, right? So where does he know this rule? Yalif avon avon minotar. Well, he learns a gzereshava of avon avon written by notar. Avin yalif avon avon mechatat aron. Meaning, if you use a gzeres shava avon avon from notar, notar is not burnt up right away. rather it's burnt only after it becomes after you can't eat it anymore. That's when it becomes notar. So too, from the Gzera Shav, I'm going to say the same about a pigul, that it's not burnt up right away. It's only burnt after a certain period of time. But why did you choose to make a Gzera Shava by Avon from Notar and Pigul? Why not make a Gzera Shava from Avon of Chatat to Avon of Pigul? And by the Korban Chatat that we see, it's burnt up right away. And then I should learn from a Pigul that's also burnt up right away. Amar Lecha, Chatat de Aaron, ki haigavna nami ibur tzur ladorot, by Avatam horat shah haita. You can't make a Gzera Shava there because that actually, the din by Korban Chatat is, you do wait. By Korban Chatat, this is just a Horat Shah. This was a unique teaching to Aaron that was applicable just in that time. However, going forward, the Korban Chatat also needs to wait for an Ibur Tzur. It's not burned up immediately. Hashta Damrin and Kolpsule de Kodesh, Besreifa, Loshna, de Kochim, Kochim, Loshna, Kochim, Kalim, Gemara Gmiri, Lo. Bakodesh Mishserif Lamali. So now that I know that both Kochim Kalim and Koche Kochim are burned up in the Beit HaMikdash right away, whether it's Koche Kochim or Kochim Kalim, and I know that's Allah from the Halacha Moshe Mishinai, then that pasuk that I was trying to use earlier to teach me about the other Koche Kochim aside from the Korban Chatat, what do I do with that pasuk now? I thought that pasuk teaches me that Koche Kochim needs to be burnt up immediately, but apparently that's Halacha Moshe Mishinai. What do I do with that pasuk now? Right? No. The fact that it's burnt up immediately, that's Halacha Moshe Mishinai. However, the pasuk teaches me that it needs to be burnt in the Beit HaMikdash. And then what do I learn from the pasuk of the any meat that becomes tameh, I need to burn it up, right? Because what do I learn from that pasuk? Seemingly I know everything already that I get from that pasuk. Who goofy eats tarecha? No, you do need that pasuk. You may have thought to say the following: Kol psule de kodesh kigon lan dama. Anything that's invalid for kodesh. Right? Like if the blood was left out overnight, v'nishbach dama, or the blood spilled out, v'yata dama, or the blood was brought out of an area that it was allowed to be in, v'nishchata balayla, or if the korban was slaughtered at night, the b'sreifa, which it needs to be burnt, the leitnehu b'chulin, but and all these things apply davka to kodshim, and not to chulin, right? Because all these things, right, if you want to eat the animal, you don't have to do any of these things. These are only psulim that pose a problem if you're bringing a korban, not if you're just slaughtering an animal to eat it. Aval nitma de bechulin nami mifsil. Ema hoyel vit avid be uvdi nechol, ema loti ba'i sereifa. Right? Maybe I would say that, if I was slaughtering an animal to eat it, and not for kachim, and it became tame, I could say, well, totally fine for me to eat this, right? Because it's only, these problems only exist if I'm trying to bring the korban. Right, so I wouldn't have to burn it. I can't eat it, but I'll bury the animal. Kamash malan. Therefore, this pasuk comes to teach me that what does it mean that anything that comes in contact with tuma must be burnt, not just kodshin, not just korbanon, even chulin, even animals that became tame that you didn't intend to bring as a korban. Still, they need to be burnt. It's not sufficient just to bury them. Okay, the Mishnah continued. Nitmu habalim o shemetu tubar tzuratan. Right, so the balim died, or they became tameh. Then you have to wait for the animal to change its appearance. Rav Yosef machloket shenitmu balim achar zrika. There's a machloket that exists as when the balim become tameh after the throwing of the blood. Ditchaze basar lachila, because the meat was fit to eat. Aval nitmu balim lifnei zrika. However, if the ba'alim became tame before the throwing of the blood, loy chazi basar lachila, where the meat was not yet fit to eat anyway, divrei hakol yisaref miyad, it needs to be burnt up immediately. That's an intrinsic problem with the meat because it never had a time of fitness. Meitive challenges. Zeklal, this is a general rule. Kol shepsula begufa, oh yisaref miyad. Anything that's an intrinsic problem in the goof of the animal needs to be burnt up immediately. Bedam ba'alim tu batzurato. But if it's a problem with the blood or with the owners, then the form needs to be changed before you can burn it. V'yei to the Beit HaSreifa, and then it goes to the Beit HaSreifa to be burnt. Ketani Baalim Dumi Dam, and we juxtapose the Baalim with the Dam. Ma Dam Lifnei Zrika, Af Baalim Lifnei Zrika. Right, just as the blood needs to be invalid before you sprinkle it, so too the Baalim should need to be invalid before you sprinkle it. Eliit mar hachir mar. Rather, this is really what the Ibraita, the mission intended to teach. Machloket shenitmu Baalim lifnei zrika. There's a machloket as to whether or not there's a machloket in a case where the ba'alim became tame before the zrika. Deloit chaz basar l'achila, because the basar was never fit at any point for achila. The havalei kipsul gufo, right? So it was a psul guf because it was never fit to eat. Havalit bu'balim lachar zrika. However, if the ba'alim became tame after the zrika, the chaz basar l'achila, where the basar was fit to be eaten, divrei hakol psul machamad davar acher. Everyone agrees that this is a psul, an extrinsic invalidation of the korban. Ubaya ibur tzura, and the form of the animal needs to be changed. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, af lachar zrika nami machloket. Rabbi Yochanan says, even after the zrika tadam, there's still a machloket there as to whether or not it needs to be changed before you burn it. As Rabbi Yochanan tame, and clearly this is Rabbi Yochanan, who is consistent with his own shita. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Mebroka and Rabbi Nechemia Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yochanan Mebroka and Rabbi Chanan said the same inyan, the same matter. Rabbi Yochanan Mebroka Hada Amru. Rabbi Yochanan Mebroka that which we had just said. Rabbi Nechemia Mahi. And what is the statement of Rabbi Nechemia? Netanya Mundur Brighton. Rabbi Nechemia Omer Bibnei Aninut Nisrafa Zo. That Aaron Akohen's chatat was burnt up because he was an onen, because his sons had just died. Lekach nemar ke'ela, and that's why it was said the words ke'ela v'ha'aninu k'lachar zrika havia. And now, Aaron's aninut, Aaron's state of avelut, or the period right before avelut, after his sons died, that gives him a status of... Sorry, it's like this. Even though Aaron became an onen before the... blood was sprinkled, we regard the validity of the korban as if it would have, we regard the validity of the korban as if the blood was already sprinkled, meaning we see it as fit. V'chi istaruf la altar tisaruf, right? And even though we see the korban as though it were fit, Aaron's korban as though it were fit, even though he was an onen in the middle of the process of the korban, we see it as it's a valid korban, and yet still we see by Aaron's kohen that it's burned up immediately. So that clearly we see that Rabbi Yochanan is consistent in his shita here. That even a korban that's brought completely in a completely correct manner, meaning that the blood was sprinkled and the korban had a shat kosher, everything was good, and then the owner became tameh, still it needs to be burnt up immediately, as we saw from the case of Aaron's korban, which was burnt up immediately, even though we treat it as a korban that was brought properly till the end. So that even though his korban had a shat kosher, still it was burnt up immediately. Rabbi Mosi, if Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi says that even Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds to this. The Tanya, when they're bright, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer, Kol Ha'inyan Kulo, Einam Daver Ela Veparim and Yisrafim, Ubisirin and Yisrafim. The whole thing only speaks about the bulls and the goats that are burnt. Lisar Psulehen Abet Habira, Veliten Lotase Alachilatan. So he says we are only talking about the bulls and the goats that became tummy, that you need to burn them up in the Beit HaSreifa, and that there's a lotas to eat them. Amrulo, and they responded to him, Chatat shenichnas dama lefnai velefni minayin. Well, if that's the case, then from where do we learn the idea that a korban chatat, that's blood, was brought inside of an area that it wasn't allowed to be inside of, that it's also burnt? Amar lehen, hein lo huva et dama el kodesh prima, di'i miklal di'i nafik ihi inami ayel dama b'sreifa. From the pasuk that says the blood was not brought into an area that it wasn't allowed to be in, we can infer that if it was brought into that area, it needs to be burned up immediately. Rabbi Yochanan savar dam ubasar chada miltehi balim milta achritehi. So clearly, Rabbi Yosei Aglili's shita that he learns from Aaron and assumes that it's still the relevant halacha is that if there's any problem with the blood, that the blood is brought to a place that's not supposed to be, it is burnt up immediately. And he treats it like an intrinsic problem with the korban and not an extrinsic problem with the blood. Rabbi Yochanan holds, dam basar chada miltahi, ba'alim milta achritahi, that the blood and the meat is one matter and the ba'alim is a different matter entirely. Meaning that just because Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that the dam is an intrinsic problem doesn't mean he also holds that the ba'alim is an intrinsic problem. Rather, the meat and the blood pose intrinsic problems, meaning they need to be burnt up immediately. However, a problem with the ba'alim is a different problem altogether, and that is the extrinsic problem that requires the Ibur Tzura. Okay, we'll stop here.